This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Lift your hands toward heaven and honor the Lord. Talk to Jesus. Exalt His name. Magnify Him. Kaparako safragata. Ragabandra kavondra kabarakaya. Honor the Lord tonight. Give Him praise. Kora vahask. Sabrakta faragira paragaros. Ragira paragondra faragasta. Ragabatenzo fragatila taragaya. Legrondo patre parakiro paragato. Zeketarina mantakaparas. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Ragabondra fatte feragira. Oh, thank you, Father. Alleluia. 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 So river flow, let it river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River flow, let it river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Adonai.
are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Precious Father, we give you praise, we give you glory. Again tonight, Father, we ask that you take all the praise. We thank you for the mighty things you will do tonight. We bless your name for what you've done from the beginning of this conference. And Father, even tonight, we are persuaded that greater things you will do and your name will be glorified. Father, destinies are about to be changed. Ordinations are about to be activated. Portals are about to open in the spirit. Men are about to shift to higher dimensions of glory. From glory to glory by the spirit. And so, Father, we give you all the praise. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' matchless name, we have declared. Can somebody give the Lord a shout of praise? Come on, shout glory! Shout glory! Hallelujah! Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you richly. What an honor to serve Jesus. I want to welcome everyone tonight again. And of course, our audience online. Thank you so much for joining in. I believe the Lord will do extraordinary things in our lives tonight and beyond. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. How many of you were here in the morning? My goodness, if you were not here, what were you doing? What a time in God's presence. We had double dose in the morning. Blessed by the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Joe Nothing. Can you celebrate the mighty woman of God? What a blessing you are. Just in case you were not here to follow up, the messages are online. Do yourself good to get them. And of course, she came with her books. We have them at the stand. Pick one. You will not regret it. The Bible says, buy the truth, sell it not. You need to lay your hands. Just pick anyone. It will be a blessing to you. I've listened. I tell you, I call her a washer. She literally goes into your heart, carry out a surgery, and prepares you for greater things in the kingdom. What a blessing. Thank you so much, ma, for being a huge blessing to the body of Christ. And of course, we were blessed by the prolific ministry of God's servant, the very husband to the Apostle Mrs. Apostle Paul Nothing, an elder. That's right, that's right, that's right. You were here in the morning. Give Jesus a shout of praise. Powerful blend of the apostolic, the prophetic, the teaching, and the evangelical dimension. We just saw a lot of flexibility in the spirit, and it's a huge blessing. Tonight he will be up here to make declarations to shift men. I told them, particularly in the morning, one dimension of grace that God has richly invested in his life is a diplomatic operation. He ministers to kings, to thrones, to leaders of nations. And one of my burdens is to see Christians occupy positions of influence. And so I want him to release that grace upon us in the house tonight. And so many things will happen tonight. Our time is quite short, but God will cut a lot of things short in righteousness. It doesn't take eternity to do that which is eternal. And so tonight, God will do great things in a short period of time. And so you need your heart to be connected. Tonight, we want to honor again a father in the house, and correctly this time, Apostle Allen Opoku and his dear wife. Can you celebrate God's servant? What a blessing. So that's the man God used to open the door to the United Kingdom for me. It's been a huge blessing. I was with him in Kent, and God did marvelous things. Sir, we honor you, we love you, and we bless you richly. Can you celebrate my brother, Pastor Randolph Ajay, and his dear wife? Glory to God. That's a bishop, actually. What a blessing. He's the man behind the scenes, doing a lot of things to see that everything is put in order. And it's a huge blessing. Huge, huge blessing. God's servant is here with us tonight, Prophet Brian Asamoah. Thank you so much for having you. What a blessing. So good to see you, sir. We are honored to have you. Thank you for coming. Share fellowship. I know at some point you are going to make a declaration over this house and shift men into dimensions of the spirit. Thank you for coming. God bless you. And our pastors from different nations. God's servant came from America. We have people from Italy, from South Africa. All of you are here to share fellowship. We have people from Germany. I met them in the morning. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. Honor you so sincerely for your labor of love. And of course, my team came from Nigeria. Pastor Godwin, he gave you a charge on missions. That's our director of missions. Pastor Sonny is here with us. He's our director of finance. And Pastor Wisdom is here. He's one of our pastors from Nigeria. They came for the conference. And it's been a huge blessing. Can somebody celebrate my wife? That's right. She's a huge blessing. My God. The year I was supposed to sink was the year I married her. If I didn't marry this woman 2 years ago, I would have sunk. This ministry would have gone. God used her to support me, to strengthen me, and today we are flying because of the rich investment of grace on her life. Pastor Mrs. Osenaga Michael Oroko. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I also want to salute my brother, Apostle Eddie, and the entire team of EGMI here in the United Kingdom. This man loves Jesus. My goodness. Night and day, he's serving the Lord and leading the army. They've been praying in the UK for 1 year. And in the last 7 months, they pray every night and every morning. Round the clock, they are just there praying. And so everything you see here is a product of their priesthood. Only Jesus can reward you. Celebrate the team in the UK. At the end of this conference, we will light up a prayer candle in the United Kingdom. Yeah. So that the intercession can continue and we keep pushing on every frontier. Glory to God. God bless you richly, Apostle. Finally tonight. How did you see him? Can we celebrate Evangelist Lawrence Oyo? I told you you'll be drunk tonight. My God. Evangelist is here with us. He'll be ministering at some point tonight, just to charge you up, to put some fire in your spirit. And tomorrow we are on our way to Scotland. We must litter the nations with the fire of the Spirit. How many of you want evangelists on the platform? Give the Lord the shout! Glory to God. He will be here very soon to be a blessing to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to receive tonight? Lift your hands toward heaven. Glory to God. Ask the Lord for an encounter. Ask Him for an encounter. Ask Him for an encounter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name. We honor you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Tonight, anything is possible. I'll just share briefly. Then we'll allow the Holy Spirit to take over this atmosphere. We have several ministers here that will be coming to just speak over you, make declarations, and minister by the Spirit. And so I want your hearts to be open to receive from the Lord. Just ask the Lord to bless you. Ask the Lord to minister to you. Go ahead and give Him praise. Open your heart and receive. Elohim. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. In the precious name of Jesus. Turn your Bibles with me. You may be seated. God bless you. To Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We are on a journey in this meeting. We are trusting the Lord to raise witnesses and kingdom functionaries. And I believe that God will not only heal the sick tonight, He will also empower men to go out there and minister healing to the nations. God will not only speak to someone tonight, He will make you a mouthpiece to the nations of the world. And so, you are not just receiving tonight, you are becoming tonight. Every challenge, every need, every burden will be dealt with. But over and above that, you will be commissioned to carry God's presence and God's power to the nations of the world. Is that you, Beth Junior? How are you doing? Good to see you. You're welcome. Glory to God. You'll be commissioned to minister to the nations of the world. And so the Lord will do great and mighty things. Because this is our time. And heaven will only appear if we march. Angels are not coming here to do what we have to do. We will do what God wants to do. Because we are His representatives on the earth. And so I want to carry you on a journey tonight. Even before we begin to minister. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is like the highest court in the heavens. There's a deliberation going on here between the Godhead. And this deliberation is one that no angel is permitted to participate in. In my own belief, based on my research in scriptures, this is where God stood when He decided to design the project of creation. You know, before God began to create, He existed in Himself himself was his reference. Aeons that cannot be captured. All we know about God is within the boundary of the syllables of Creator. But you see, before God began to create, he was God. And only God knows what God was doing. And nobody can know it because we all fall within the confines of creation. But you see, this scripture revealed to us that there was a place God stayed, God dwelt, before he contemplated the project of creation. You know, very few people traveled far to the beginning in scripture. Very few people. And when you start studying the subject of the beginning, one thing you discover is that there are many beginnings. Beginning will only be one if you are dealing with time. If you are within the framework of time, if you say in the beginning, all of us will come to the same spot. But when you are dealing in a realm that is beyond time, beginning will have many locations. And so when you start studying the scripture, you find many beginnings referencing many realities. There is a beginning Moses found, and he said, in the beginning God created. In that beginning, God began the project of creating nothing, something from nothing. So that was a reference. There was another beginning John entered, in John chapter 1 from verse 1. And he said, in the beginning was the Word. That beginning, God was not doing anything. God just existed as God. So the beginning of John references a person. The beginning of Moses references an activity. All of them called beginning, but different realities. The beginning of John is a person. If you journey with John to the beginning, you will meet God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what John met in the beginning was not an activity, it was a being. But what Moses met in the beginning was an activity of creation. And so it goes to let you know that there are realms beyond creation. There are places beyond time. And such places, only God dwells there. No creation can travel there. We are only permitted to see from when reality began to play out. But there was a realm that existed before reality began. In fact, there was another beginning that Jesus referenced that Moses went to again. He said, in the beginning, it was not so. He made them male and female. That's another beginning. In that beginning, God began to deal with matters of socialization. So there are different kinds of beginning in God. But there is a realm beyond the beginning. The realm beyond the beginning cannot be referenced. That's where God goes into to plan things. And only God knows them. The reason, no matter how creative we are, we cannot be creators. At best, we can be inventors. Inventors produce things from what was. Only creator can produce from nothing. Inventors, we need raw materials to create, but a creator doesn't need a raw material. That's the difference between a bara and an asar. A bara produces from nothing. So he can call forth air. Air does not come out of any, it causes it to existence from nothing to something. Only God has that authority. Now, when God was dealing in Genesis 1:26, he journeyed back to one of such places where nobody can enter. That's where the code of creation is kept. And what God was deliberating there is to create another being that will represent him in one of his constituencies. Because when you study the scripture, you will discover that the earth realm was manned by another creation. There was a prince that was the ruler over the earth realm until that prince failed. And so when God needed somebody else, he didn't reassign the responsibility of the prince that was watching over the earth, because that earth was destroyed. And the reason it happened so is because when God creates a realm and he puts you there to man it, the life of that realm is tied to you. And so the Bible said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. He said the whole foundation of the earth is out of course. So when a prince that is the governor over a realm falls, that realm will also fall. And so the first earth had to collapse. The first earth fell into chaos. And so when you study Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, after God created the heaven and the earth, in verse 2, we saw that the earth spiraled into chaos. The word is tohu bohu. It means worthlessness, chaos, lack of coordination and control. Everything has spiraled into vanity. Because the first prince fell, the first earth fell. And so now that God has recreated the second earth, he needed another prince to man that earth. But you see, you cannot just pick another prince to man it. Because the new prince, his reality needs to be tied to this earth so that he can regulate it from the foundations. And so God had to go back to the realm that was before the beginning. And it was that realm he entered where no angel can enter. And he began to negotiate with himself. And what God came out with was another novel invention that had never existed. Because the first earth was manned by a spirit. Although he had authority over the earth, but he was a spirit, an immaterial being, trying to regulate a material realm. And so there would definitely be a challenge. And so this time around, God decided to create a being that had never existed before and did not look like any other being. And he said, let us make man. And this time around, man will not be just like a spirit. Now, listen to this. If God created man in the image of the Father, he would have been powerful enough. If he created man in the image of the Son, he would have been powerful enough. If he created man in the image of the Spirit, he would have been powerful enough. But what God did was that he merged the reality of the Godhead. And he said, let us make man. Not like the Father, not like the Son, not like the Spirit. Let's make man like Father, Son, and Spirit, all in one. So he created a being for the first time that could mirror the fullness of God. A being that could communicate the fullness of God. And the moment he created that being, he had to mobilize that being to man the next realm that he had created. And this time, hear this, all of the realms of God are spirit realms. For the first time, he crystallized a realm that is material, completely separated from the spirit realm. So a spirit can no longer function here until one with body gives it permission. In the first earth, a spirit could operate on earth as its governor. But in this new earth, only one with a body could give a spirit permission. So God created one that will operate with so much authority, almost replacing him. And so if that man decides to submit to God, it is called worship. Because it's possible for that man to function in rebellion. But he gave him so much authority to represent him in fullness that it will take worship for that man to submit everything he has under his control to God, seeing God as his source. Otherwise, the man was operating in the God class. He said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. So the same way we regulate the heavens, let this man have power to regulate the earth. Yes, and so the moment the fallen prince saw it, he knew there was a problem. Another creature of the God order has come into being. We have to truncate this project. This man cannot be allowed to come into fullness. If he comes into fullness, he will be like God. And that's why, since Adam fell, when his project was truncated, the next person God saw as a man in his image was Christ. Because if man enters his image, he will operate like God. Adam could not complete that cycle. The next person that was able to complete that cycle was Jesus. So at John's baptismal service, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the first time I have seen the full project of man. Because a man is supposed to mirror God. A man is actually one that hosts divinity and expresses divinity through the flesh. A man is one that has the capacity to contain God and to express God. So that when you find a man becomes an address of God. So when you are looking for God, you don't need to look into the skies. When you touch a man is a conduit into the God kind. Because of that, our existence here is not in the pursuit of things. It is the fall that made us to become pursuers of things. Because in the God class, you don't pursue things. You command them and they be. The moment man began to pursue things to find validation, it means he's falling. The moment the man begins to define his glory from his possessions, it means he's falling. Because the way he's designed, his essence is not in things. The glory is in earthen vessel. He is a custodian of a God reality. So the value of the man is in himself, not outside of him. But the fall made man no longer to draw value from within himself. He began to look for value outside himself. So the man became a wanderer. Why am I saying this? The reason most of us cannot serve God is because we are still wanderers. We are trying to look for value in things. We are pursuing things. We walk from morning till night and night till morning. Not because we are pursuing anything eternal. We are looking for natural things to validate us. And the devil knows. Because the moment the man begins to look for value externally, he becomes a slave of the devil. Because the devil cannot control what is inside him. But the devil can control what is outside him. And so the devil will make you pursue external things, make you define value based on external things, and you find yourself in an endless cycle looking for value and relevance from the externals. And you see, the more you look for it, the more you'll never be satisfied. The more you search, the more you'll never be satisfied. You were designed to contain God and to express God. And if you have any activity on earth, is to extend his government to the earth realm. And so anything God has in mind, it is your duty to pick it from the mind of God and to communicate it to the earth. So when the government of God is advancing on the face of the earth, a man is supposed to be behind it. And so men, therefore, should be identified by two things. Number one, by the dimension of God they carry, and by the assignment of God they are representing on the earth. If you find a man that you cannot find the dimension of God traced to him, and if you find a man that is not powering any divine mandate, that man is still operating by the economy of the fall. He's still in the realm of tohu bohu. No matter what you have, what gives you value is the dimension of God you carry. If we took a census here for a minute and we find out, who are you? Most of you will define yourself based on your job. I'm a banker. I'm a lawyer. I'm a lecturer. That's not who you are. Paul says, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You must be traced to a dimension. A dimension that has its root in God. And then if they ask you, what do you do? It is still an error to say I'm a lawyer. Because law is a platform. Marketing is a platform. Parliament is a platform. What you do is a kingdom assignment. If you ask me, who are you? I spread the fire of God from nations to nations. I carry the presence of God from nations to nations. So if you find me in law service today, it's because they need the presence of God there. That's why I came. I came as a custodian. If you find me in football today, I'm not playing football because I need food. I am there because they need the fire in the football field. And so when I'm playing it, you will see the glory of God there. And after a while, many footballers will be influenced. Jesus will become their Lord. Because the reason I went there is not to look for a paycheck, is to bring Christ there. I carry presence. I carry fire. Somebody else will carry light. And when he enters a place, he demystifies everything that the devil has done. And he brings a new order. And people will have no choice but to bow to God and to serve Jesus as King. Until we come to that point, our existence is vain. There's no meaning in what we are doing. We will be like the animals that have no purpose. The job of the animal is to satisfy his appetites. If his appetites are satisfied, he's having a good day. And when his appetite is satisfied, he goes to sleep, wakes up the next day, and starts seeking how to satisfy his appetite. And he dies and he ends that way. But you see, we don't die. When our assignment is over, we translate to another dimension of glory. Because what we are doing will not end in time. It will continue into eternity. You know, John was carried to heaven. And while he was in heaven, he saw a being in Revelation 19, around 10 and 11. He wanted to worship him. He thought he was an angel. And he told him, worship me not. I'm one of your brethren. I finished my assignment before you. I've crossed over. Because what you are doing on earth, you will do it in Zion. It doesn't stop here. Hope you know that Elijah was not just a prophet on earth. Because when Elijah finished his assignment, he became an elder in the spirit.
Because when Jesus needed to go to the Mount of Transfiguration, Elijah came back. Moses came back. And the Bible said they were telling him what he will do in Jerusalem. Because the same way they carried the oracles of God as men, now they have become spirits of just men made perfect. They are still custodians of the oracles of God. And so when Jesus came in the flesh, at some point, he needed elders to give him counsel. And so they told him, although you are creator, but now that you have come to the world of men, there are certain oracles that we are custodians of. So when you get to Jerusalem, Lord and Master, this is what you should do. There's no banking job you will do when you leave your body. Banking ends here, because banking is a platform. There's no oil job you can do beyond here. It's a platform. It's not a work. There's no lecturing job you can do that you will carry to eternity. It ends here. The only one that if you came back in another lifetime, you will still carry is an assignment that is eternal. And so anytime Elijah returns, he returns as a prophet. Anytime Elijah returns, he returns as a custodian. Anytime Elijah returns, he returns as a witness, because they don't die. They carry it for all eternity. This is who we are. We are witnesses and we are ambassadors of Zion. We represent dimensions of God on the earth realm. When you leave this conference, you will discover who you are. You will discover who you are. You will know that you carry an errand from Zion. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I ordained you. There was a seal put on your life that you shall be a prophet to the nations. You came as an errand of God from eternity to time. If you know this, your life will take a new turn. Do you know why I can never bother what I need to eat? I'm a messenger. I'm an ambassador. I was sent. And the one that sent me is too faithful to allow me hunger and thirst. I was sent. You know why I can never bother about how I will live or whether I'm under attack or I'm not under attack? I was sent. I told you yesterday, the last thing the British ambassador wants to do in Nigeria is to worry, because the government that sent him is responsible for him. From what he wears to what he eats to how he travels, the government is responsible. The last thing he wants to do is to ask for food. When you find him in Nigeria, he's defending the interest of the Great Britain. He's arguing to advance the influence of the government of Britain in Nigeria. Anywhere you see him, he's carrying the weight of the kingdom, the weight of the nation. And so long as he's there, Britain will have a stake in that country. That is his burden. How much of the influence of this empire will remain in this country because of my presence? That's how an ambassador thinks. I am on earth. How much of the influence of God will be felt in my space because I am here? If that becomes your pursuit in life, everything men seek will be an addition to you. Everything men desire will be an addition for you. We didn't come. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. God is too faithful for your food to become an issue. And so the difference between a Christian and a witness, the difference between a Christian and an ambassador, the difference between a Christian and a messenger is that a Christian is a consumer, but a messenger is a burden bearer of God. When you find an ordinary Christian praying, he's asking for health, he's asking for bread, he's asking for breakthrough. But when you find an ambassador on his knees, he's asking the Father, what will you have me do? What is the next assignment? What is the strategy for fulfilling it? How do I advance the influence of heaven on earth? And as he's doing it, what the other one is praying for is an addition to him. He will not pray it, yet he will do better than the one praying it, because the jealousy of heaven is invested on him. If the number of witnesses begins to grow, earth will become a constituency of heaven again. The reason we are here is to make the kingdoms of this world the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Tonight, I want to touch on something very little. Then we'll begin to pray. You know, yesterday, I showed you the 7 credentials of an ambassador. The 7 credentials. I said the first credential of an ambassador is that he is powered by the law of the spirit of life. And that is necessary because if the law of the spirit of life does not dominate you, the law of sin and death will truncate the law of God. And so you can't do the will of God. From Romans chapter 7, verse 21 to 25 and 8 to verse 9, Paul was showing us the circuit of the spirit that makes for the possibility of advancing God's kingdom. Because when you study Romans chapter 8, verse 2, and you study Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and verse 21, you'll find a connection. He said, the law of the spirit of life have set me free from the law of sin and death. The reason the law of the spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death is because the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the reason creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God is because in 21, creation is in bondage. And so God is looking for savior for creation. And so the men that are saved by Christ, he wants them to go and save creation so that creation can fulfill its purpose. And so you cannot be an ambassador of God until the law of the spirit of life sets you free. And the reason the law of the spirit of life will set you free is because when you study Romans 7 from verse 21 to 25, you are going to see a contention. The law of God that is in the mind is the law that makes you desire to serve God. But in your body and in your member is another law called the law of death that has the power to always stop the law of the mind. And so you desire to serve God, but you cannot because there is a law in your member that stops you from serving God. But the way God buffers the equation is by introducing a third law. So the law of the spirit of life stops the law of sin and death. And the moment the law of sin and death is stopped, the law of the mind goes to work. So you can now serve the will of God. And when you start serving the will of God, you become a son and you bring deliverance to Jacob. And so the first way to become an ambassador is for the law of life to truncate the law of sin and death so that the law of God can push you to serve the will of God. Otherwise, creation will remain in bondage. The bank will be controlled by criminals. The academia will be controlled by criminals. The government will be controlled by criminals. And if you send Christians there, they will join them. Some of us here who are from Christian nations, you know that 60 to 70% of your senators are Christians, but the world is plunging into darkness because they were not taught how to submit to the law of life. So they are still slaves of the law of sin and death. So they had great passion for God, but when they saw money, they saw influence, they saw power, their convictions sank and they became slaves of the devil. And Paul showed us the way to activate the law of life is through your mind. You must become spiritually minded because the law of life must be fed, and it is fed by what you see and what you hear. So your mindedness is what empowers the law that you walk with, and only those who submit to the law of life can become sons and bring deliverance to creation. And so the first law of an ambassador is the law of the spirit of life. I said the second thing about an ambassador is that he must be a custodian of the presence of God. The presence of God is different from being in the spirit. Carrying the presence of God is different from being in the spirit. The Bible said in Romans 8:9, it said the Holy Ghost is in you, you are in the spirit. And I told you there are many people who are in the spirit who are fornicators. There are many people who are in the spirit who are liars. There are many people who are in the spirit who are criminals because they have the Holy Ghost, they speak in tongues, in capital letters, but leave them with money and you'll be shocked. Because they are in the spirit, but they are wolves in sheep clothing. But you see, the one who can represent God, in addition to being the spirit, he must carry the presence of God. And I say, what is the presence of God? The presence of God is the government of God, the full weight of his government. And that's why the first time you see the visible presence of God in the Garden of Eden, it came with laws. You cannot function under the presence of God without the government of God. Because Adam was to live in Eden, God had to give him a law. Of all the tree that is in the garden, you can eat freely. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you cannot eat it. The day you eat it, you die. You leave the presence. So for you to carry the presence, you must come under the government of God. The second time you see the presence of God visibly was in the life of Moses. And that was why it was in the days of Moses that the era and the covenant of the law was activated. Every time the presence moves, the law of God moves. The government of God moves. It's not a gift, it's a submission. And I showed you seven things that happens when the presence of God is in motion. I told you, for you to walk in the presence of God, first of all, you must submit to the sounds of the Spirit. Because this law is not to take you back to the era of Moses. It's not legalism. It is actually spirit operation. And the first law you will meet is the law of sound. That means you are regulated by the frequencies that your spirit man picks. So a man who does not hear the sounds of God and submit to those sounds cannot walk in the presence. Ask those who operate in the presence. You can wake up in the morning and you hear a song. You will sing that song for 10 hours. Not because you don't know it, but the song is carrying you somewhere. It takes you to the presence. You will follow that song and discover it's a potter. Because when sounds move, spirits move. Sounds are vehicles of transport in the spirit. And so anybody who operates in the presence must of necessity come under the government of sound. I said the second thing about the presence is the government of light. Without revelation of the word, you cannot carry the presence of God. If you study the book of Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 3, you notice two things. The Bible said the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And in verse 3, you hear that Jonah ran from the presence of God. That means the word of the Lord brings the presence of God. That's why the Bible said in the cool of the day, the voice of God came walking in the garden. And the voice of God became the presence of God. It said Adam ran from the presence of God. So for a man to function in the presence, revelation of the word must be present with him. It is his access to that light that helps him carry that presence. And he will not have authority to advance kingdom except as he's living by truth. Why do you think our generation is barren of the word? The devil knows. When the word comes alive, authority is released. And he knows that if we carry authority, his kingdom will suffer. So he doesn't want his kingdom to suffer. So he will distract you from the world. A man can watch movies for 10 hours, but he carries the Bible and he can't finish three verses before sleeping. He reads one verse, he yawns four times and he sleeps. Because his mantle is tied to that light. If he gets that light, he can wield his mantle. And the devil knows that the mantle he's carrying is transgenerational. If he carries that mantle, a generation will be delivered. And so what he will do is to darken his understanding. He gets to the world, he can't access it. But when God wants you to carry his government to the nations, he begins to bring light to your spirit. Sometimes the world draws you. And the Bible says, with joy shall ye draw out waters from the wells of salvation. The more you are drawing, the more you are drawing. The more you are drawing. And a point comes. As you are taking every step, you are taking it by the word. As you are moving by the word. There's nothing you do that the word does not regulate you. You marry by the word. You take a job by the word. You travel by the word. Everything becomes the word. The word of God dwells in you richly. And so you come, anywhere you come, the presence of God goes with you. And things are just happening even when you are not talking. And I listed seven of them. I don't have the time tonight. I spoke about fire. I spoke about the lively coals. Every time you hear of the presence of God, you will find one of these things. Either you find light, or you find sound, or you find fire, or you find coals. They represent different things. It is the coals that activate your mantle. You can carry a grace, it will never manifest. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had a tongue, he had a title, but he had no mantle. He was a messianic prophet, but he was loitering about, never manifesting. The moment his tongue was touched, he came out of that vision, and the next thing he said, a virgin shall be with child. It was always there, but he couldn't communicate it. There are many powers we carry, but we must touch the lively coals. Because if that iniquity remains in you, that fornication you are doing in hiding, that lying, that exaggeration, it will take a coal to realign you. Ministry can bring money and bring a little influence. That is not your calling. When your calling begins to manifest, the nations will hear of it. The nations will gather around it. Kings will come there because it's a law in the spirit. And the fire is what brings intensity, because it maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, by all means, they must be flames of fire. And so if you have not passed through that fire for you to be intensified, you will be too cold for the devil to be troubled by your presence. Hope you know that the punishment that was given to the devil was fire. And so every time the devil finds a man on fire, he reminds him of the messianic judgment. He said, I will cause a fire to come out of you, and it will burn you to ashes. And so when you see a man on fire, he brings torment to darkness. That torment is why he advances God's kingdom. You can't be lukewarm, you can't be cold and say you are representing God. It's not possible. And so many times, those of us who understand the business of thrones, if the fire is going down, we shut down. Because you can give up that invitation to keep that fire burning. He said the fire on the altar must not be put out. He said the priest must put wood on it every morning. And so you wake up in the morning, you'll find a chant. If there's no chant, you'll find a verse of scripture. If there's no verse of scripture, you'll take a prayer walk. And as you are moving, Kakorua, Kakiza, Azuzo, Pakarato, Ariada, Kubaka, Azazono, Maratua, Teatu, Atua, Erata, Gatututa, Azora, Tei, 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 Haromo, Saka, Ora, Bayotua. After a while, you will notice something. Your dimensions will begin to change. See, we are not ordinary, sir. Some of us carry horns. Some of us carry wings. We are not ordinary. See, the reason God allowed us to look like men is so that they don't run when they meet us. Hope you know we need to evangelize the world. But if they see our dimension, they will run. The psalmist said, my horn have thou exalted, like the horn of the unicorn, because I'm anointed with fresh oil. That means every time fresh oil comes on you, your horn grows. Imagine if you walk into the UK with a horn. They will run away. They will think you are the devil. But that horn represents authority. That horn represents government. That horn represents power. You don't know. You don't know. Some of us have wings in the spirit. Why do you think somebody is doing something for 5 years? You do it in 6 months. And they are wondering what happened. The hand of God came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. There are wings. There are wings. Man can take 10 years, you take 3 months. They can take 20 years, you take 2 years. And they are wondering what happened. There is a motion in the spirit. They say, for they that wait upon the Lord, they mount up with wings like the eagles. They mount up with wings like the eagles. They said they will run, they will not be weary. They will walk, they will not faint. So when men are tired, that's when you are starting. They say, Kai, this thing is not easy. You say, I'm just starting. I'm just booting. I'm just booting. I'm just booting. Kakoria, Arakano, Sagabata, Asesasunua, Arakatoswata, Ayelo, Baraka, Ayako, Matangre, Telataru. Why do you think our fathers have done this thing for 30 years and they are as fresh as though they started yesterday? Apostle Paul was ministering to us here in the morning. He has been ministering for more than 3 decades, but it looked as if he started preaching yesterday. Fresh, powerful, young, as though he's a teenager. Because there is something. There is a dimension that does not grow old. The outer man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the fire of the presence. You can't lose your fire. That's your signature as a witness. He maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, they are flames of fire. It's a government of the presence. The 50 you find in the presence is the water. In Psalm 46, he said, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. He said, the tributaries make it glad, the cities of God. In Revelation 4:6, he said, under the throne is a river of glass. And what that river does is that it brings peace. It brings joy. It brings stability.
And so when you find a man of the presence, nothing can move him. It's like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. That's why the Bible said, in thy presence there is fullness of joy, at thy right hand pleasures forevermore. And Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So there is a strength on your inside that the devil cannot understand. Apostle Paul came, he was supposed to minister this morning. Yesterday they stole his Range Rover. He didn't affect the message, because there is a joy in the spirit. Nothing moves you, nothing shakes you, nothing throws you off. The devil throws an arrow, you say, is this the best you can do? Throw your best shot, I'm standing here. Throw your best arrow, I am standing here. For I am like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. They say, be anxious for nothing, they say, by all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your request be made known unto God. The peace of God that surpasses knowledge. It doesn't make sense. There are some that their husbands die, they are preaching. Their wives die, they are preaching. Their children die, they are preaching. They lost their job, they are preaching. They lost their car, they are preaching. And you say, what is going on? I'm a man of the presence. When I entered the presence, a fountain was activated on my inside, because it said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. Rivers of living waters. I cannot be moved. Somebody shout! An ambassador cannot do without the presence. No, you can't. Every second, sometimes you are driving, that river is flowing. And then, like my friend Lawrence, there's no words. You know, sometimes words becomes a limitation, because you enter a realm where they don't talk by cognitive words. You chant out. It's river to river, spirit to spirit, light to light. Until you discover that human words are too limited to communicate sacred things that are immortal in nature. Too limited. How do you talk about your flight to the third heaven? How do you talk about your oneness with the Holy Ghost? How do you talk about your encounter with a myriad of angels? How can you tell people that you are sitting in one car and there are 1,000 angels there? How can you tell people that you are walking to a place and suddenly Apostle Paul accompanies you? And suddenly Elijah accompanies you, and they are wondering, is it the one that was buried, rotten and decayed? But you see, in the spirit they are called spirit of judgment made perfect. Sometimes they journey with us, sometimes angels journey with us. You can be in one car with 100 angels, and the policeman, how can he get it? And so when you see that divine things cannot be communicated with words, you chant them out. They say, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be filled with the spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in melodies, making spiritual melodies in your heart. Ha! Higher! That's an ambassador. You chant it. You break it out. You break it out. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. Ah! They are wondering, what is this? You are touching something that is holy. Holy, his root is in Zion, although it's on earth. But you see, many patriarchs have drank it. And so you drink a wine that Elijah drank, you drink a wine that Enoch drank, you drink a wine that Moses drank, and they say they have dry gin. You tell them you don't know anything about intoxication. Come, let me show you the spirit of life, the one that can intoxicate you and carry you from your realm to the yonder dimension. You don't know anything about drunkenness. We know what drunkenness is, because when we are drunk, we are metamorphosed. We are metamorphosed. We don't get drunk and misbehave. We get drunk and transfigured. An ambassador, you carry it like the Shekinah. Moses knew. He said, I will send an angel before you. He said, no way. We shall not move from here unless your presence goes with us. Thank God for angels, but your presence is the key. And the Bible said he went after them as a pillar of fire by night and as a pillar of cloud by day. And he said their shoes grew with them, their garments did not get torn. He said every city they entered, they licked it up. And there was a commandment in the spirit, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. He even the mighty Og, the king of Bashan, when Moses was advancing towards his nation, he was not carrying an army, but the man knew. He said, any nation they pass through, they lick it up. And instead of putting armies together, he went and looked for a sorcerer. Because he knows it's a waste of time to carry an army. If they take stones, they will win you. If they sing songs, they will win you. Because they are not fighting with hands. The shout of the king is in their midst. The life we are called into is a life of wonders. You are the one who is reducing the quality of your life, running away from God. No, when this conference is over, some of you will go to your room and shut the door. And you will tell yourself like A.A. Allen, I'm not going out of here until something happens. You will sit there because you are tired of the natural life. Akorwa karakakas. Azeze karuta. Paruate paragakatuna azosaka parato aruado paraga shara shara marianda ato rakatatina aruata doata asoro paraga pero hear this. You will do it first day, nothing will happen. The next day you are back. I'm going nowhere. Mano rovaka azese karakano. Second day, nothing happens. That day, nothing happened. On the 14th day, before you enter, an angel will stand there and say, what do you want? You have knocked on this door for too long. What do you want? And you will tell that one, I want to see what the patriarch saw. I want to go where Paul went to. I want to see what David saw. And they will carry you to chambers in eternity. And when you come out, you become an envoy. When you come out, you become an ambassador. Because they will know that you saw something. They will know that you heard something. When Zacharias came out, he didn't talk. The people knew he had seen something. It's not about talking. It's about becoming. The man said nothing. They knew. They said, Kai, this man has seen an angel. He was dumb, but they knew. Because the one who came out was transfigured. When Moses came down from Sinai, they had to cover his face with veils. Because even Moses was not aware, but his face was shining like the sun. A generation must rise. Not a generation of gibberish and manipulation. A generation that carries the true powers of heaven. The Bible gave us that ticket. It said we shall touch the powers of the ages to come. The powers of the ages to come. That's what God has made available to us. And so right here in this world, we can live like citizens of the world to come. Although that world has not yet appeared, but by the Holy Ghost, we are permitted to taste of the things that are to happen in that world. That's why I said we have taste of the heavenly blessings, the heavenly gifts. And the reason we tasted of the Holy Ghost is not just to speak in tongues. We tasted of the Holy Ghost that we may touch the things that are yonder, that we may step into the corridors where the patriarchs enter. Jesus was speaking and he said, Abraham, your father saw my day and he rejoiced in it. How did the man in the old covenant see the Messiah? The Messiah was supposed to come in a dispensation, but there is a mountain you get to and you will know that there are places where God can be seen. There are heights in Zion where God can be seen. Moses was in the old covenant, but he said, I saw upon the mountains of Paran the Holy One descending with 10,000 of his saints. How did he see the things that had to happen in the mountains of Armageddon? Who told him the battles of the age to come? Because time can be a limitation, not eternity. When you enter there, you become as ancient as the government that instituted it. And this is our heritage. We are sent into a world, but we didn't come with the tools of darkness. We came with tools that were crafted in eternity. We came with powers that are designed to rule the world to come. And that's why even if the devil tries, at the end of the day, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. There's no backing down. We can't fall. We can't be destroyed. We have become mountains in God. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute? I sense a movement in the spirit. Yerakamo Rakavaya Aviro Paragato Zezena. Raise us up, Father, like the wise men of Shiloh. Raise us up, Father. like the sons of Issachar, that had understanding of the times and of the seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. Raise us like warriors in the order of Joshua that can speak to the constellation.
I will not stop until I fly.
Men that have the stature of Ezekiel, they can stay on the altar for hours, for days, for months,
Jesus,
until they step into the corridors of eternity.
I will pray,
and they can bring judgment and legislation
until
the kings of the earth.
Fly.
Aramanda
fire
power.
Like
baptize us with the baptisms of hunger, that we may see things that are virgin in God. Things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have occurred to the hearts of men. The things that are locked up in the ancient chronicles of Zion, that you may read them with the elders of old. The things that were written by the scribes of the heavens, cause us to read it like Daniel saw, like Daniel read. Mene, mene, tekel, fasi. Cause us to tap into the wisdom of the ancient. A generation that is drunk in the spirit. Yekarano Kabakaya, Avero Kabila Baragano, Asete Kabaya, Ariata Pandara Kabanto, Asopra Kata, Ragabari, Asoparanakaya, Asonte Paradina, Ato Baraga, Aragatino Paragasto. How did Moses know where the sea divides? By what wisdom did Elijah know that a Jordan is coming parted?
Who can
touch one that the sun can stand still, that the moon can work upon the valleys of Ajanos? Who taught them the ways of God? We make the man of the ancient
chronicles,
that we may read the deed
Yourself in, there is hope for a tree that is cut down. Because at the scent of water, it has been back to life again. Iku, you are a soldier in the army of God, and a host awaits your response to the clarion call. Can you feel the stirring? The stirring in your belly as your father calls out to you now. Can you feel the burning of the fire long shut up in your bones, Igu? Can you feel the breaking of the dam within you as the river from your belly flows? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Oh my God, they will mount up, spread their wings and fly. Until I fly just like you. If you're ready, nations are waiting, creation is groaning. It's your day to fly. Eagles, stop giving excuses. Eagles, stop running from prayer. Eagle, Jesus is waiting. Eagle, stop playing around. I will not stop until I fly just like you.
Thank you, Father. Lift your hands toward heaven. We have entered the first layer of this meeting. There are three realms we will get into. Hear me. There's a baptism of fire going on now. God wants to raise warriors, functionaries of the kingdom. And so we have entered the realms of the seraphims, the burning ones that activate ordinations, set men on fire, and empower them for destiny. And so everywhere you are watching, this is your hour. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the galleries, to those watching online, let that fire rest upon you. Ushers, help them for me quickly. Take that fire. Warriors, warriors, warriors. Ushers, bring them here fast.
Beside
Help them, help them, help them. Not less than 24 of you are coming under the influence of the fire of the Spirit. I call forth ordinations, activations of the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just take them to the altar. Take them there. Leave them there. They are offerings unto God. Offerings. Please don't be distracted at this hour. This is the first realm we have entered in this meeting. There's the baptism of the Spirit. He maketh his angels spirits. But his ministers, they are flames of fire. Wherever you are standing, my God. My God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Please don't be distracted. Don't lose me here. I see something like a garment coming upon people. And men are being mantled with graces of witnesses. Graces of witnesses. And so the same fire of the Spirit that burns in my spirit, the same fire that we carry to the nations, I call for that fire now. The baptism that makes for the rise of warriors, for the rise of witnesses. Wherever you are standing, that garment comes upon you now. Ushers, help me fast. Take that fire. Take that fire. On ground, online. On ground, online. Take that fire. Bring them to the altar so you don't choke the front. Bring them up. You put them, you go back. Maragandro faragata, sexofrina ampradigos, taragastra vatro vedagira angrastovra haragastro. More ragabatas.
I chance them open. I chance them open.
Don't be distracted. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Somebody is hungry.
Bring them
fire.
Up.
Fiery wine, burning wine. What kind of dream? It's a bold, burning fire.
So river flow, river flow. Let it turn river flow. In your church, once again. Let it turn into the city. River flow, river flow. Let it turn river flow. In your church, once again. River flow, river flow. Let it turn river flow. In your church, once again, let eternity be seen. River flow, river flow. Let it river flow. In your church, once again, let eternity be seen. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim. Your hands one more time. There's an awakening going on in the hearts of men now. Some of you, all you knew growing up is living for yourself, but the syllabus is changing. A new law is being written on the tablets of your heart. As you step out of this place, you are arrested as a prisoner of Christ. You become a servant of God by the Spirit. Everyone stepping into that order of ordination. There are seven of you right now. A new commandment is being written. Help them, brothers and sisters, at the back, quickly. Take that fire. Please help them.
Break forth, O fountains of the deep. Cry out, Father. You are mighty on your throne. Break forth, O Spirit of the people. Cry out, Kados. You are mighty on your throne.
Hear this. What is happening here is the power of transformation. Now God wants to move us to the manifest dimension of power that changes circumstances. Because all of these are needed in the quiver of a witness. We don't only have the anakazo power that transforms. We also have the power that changes circumstances. And so the top credential of an ambassador is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. So there is a power that deals with oppression. And hear this. That power is about to be released here. But the good news is that it will not just break bondages and chains. Men will catch it and they will also run with it. I wish I had time. I wanted to teach on that aspect tonight, that an ambassador must be a carrier of power, and show you five things that makes it a must for you to walk in power. The blood covenant, the change of nature, the sacrifice on the cross, the power of resurrection, and the power of ascension. I would have taught you on these five dimensions of power, but we are out of time. But right now, there's no need to teach that which can be manifested. I told you, if we cannot teach it, we communicate it as a body of spirits. And so everybody standing here that came with an affliction, this is your time. This is your time. Can I call Apostle Paul to please join us quickly? Evangelist Lawrence, please, quickly. Prophet Brian. We want to make declarations to deal with afflictions. I'm not alone tonight. Pastor Randolph, please come.
Lift your hands to heaven right now. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I approach your throne of favor, where I obtain mercy and favor in a time of need. Your word says that sickness is a pit. Your word says that healing is the children's bread. Your word says that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for my peace was laid upon him, and by his wounds I am healed. 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 By his wounds I am healed now. 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 Now lift your hands to heaven. Start to pray in the Holy Spirit. Call on the manifestation of the bread of heaven. Call on the manifestation of the river of life, of the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I lay my hand on your daughter here as a point of contact for the glory and the manifestation of the healing power of Jesus Christ, born 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. We speak an end to sickness. We speak an end to affliction. We speak an end to demonic strength. We speak an end to the power of the enemy. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all of the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Heal your people, Father. Heal your people. Touch them, Lord God. Touch them. Use them for your glory. Use them for your glory. Use them for your glory. Let the testimony be strong. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Now do something you couldn't do. Do something you couldn't do right now. If you had leg trouble, bend it. If you had neck pain, bend it. If you had back pain, bend it. Do something you couldn't do. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command healing to manifest.
every larynx from this morning. In the name of Jesus, we claim healing, divine life. Flow, 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 in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Lift your hands toward heaven. Afflictions are leaving people now.
Jesus.
Every ear condition right now is commanded healed. Every eye condition is commanded healed. Every bone affliction is commanded healed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Organ infections are corrected now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every growth in your body that is not of God, I command it to go now. In the name of Jesus. Every broken bone, joint condition that has been a challenge, right now receive your healing. In the name of Jesus.
Lift your hands, everybody. Lift your hands. I want those with a United Kingdom flag, Tyrone, I want you to lift up this flag higher. Lift up your hand. Something has happened to United Kingdom. Let your amen be louder. Any principality that fights the things of God, that fights the move of God in United Kingdom, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we stop you in the name of Jesus. Revival has come to the United Kingdom. Oh, Kitala Shibantalabaya. A new army, a new army, a new generation, a new army, a new generation of fire. We are released in our prophetic destinies. Lift your hands. Anybody marked for untimely death? He said, you will deliver my soul from death. Enough of young people dying in the United Kingdom. You cannot die. You cannot die before your time. I declare depression leaves your life right now. Oh, let your amen be the loudest. Depression leaves your life right now. I command suicide. The spirit of suicide. The spirit of suicide. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And let that negative addiction. Negative addiction. You pray and you go back. You will not return to your vomit. I declare a fresh fire. A fresh fire for prayer. A fresh fire for prayer. A fresh fire for holiness. A fresh fire for holiness. Lift your hands. Now I declare, anybody with a blood condition, I saw whilst the apostle was preaching, apostle, I saw that you were divided into two. You were standing there and you were watching yourself preach. The spirit took over and I saw that your shoes turned into fire. You have led an army into a season. In the next 100 years, this revival will never go down. This revival will never go down. This revival will never go down. Lastly, there is somebody, there is a mental problem condition in your house. It has affected 3 generations. You are stopping the mental condition. You are stopping the mental condition. I declare fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Now let the fear, the fear, the fear of the unknown, the fear of the future, the fear of the present, I declare fear lives your life.
Let your amen be the loudest.
Somebody give the Lord a shout.
Labor, come on, lift up your hands. Redeclare the rise of witnesses. I said, redeclare the rise of witnesses. Redeclare the rise of ambassadors. Redeclare that the sons of God are rising in the United Kingdom. Redeclare the era of the kingdom, the era of his glory, the era of his power. Now redeclare right now a generation of young men and women that are full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power, full of the glory, full of the grace, full of the unction, full of the anointing, in the mighty name of Jesus. Redeclare revival in Manchester, revival in Nottingham, revival in Liverpool, revival in London, revival in Scotland, revival in Wales, revival in Ireland, revival in Northern Ireland, revival in Europe. Let this revival fire spread, 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 spread. Shout amen. Now let fire enter our churches. 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 Let me tell you what I just saw. I saw fire that were lit at the tails of men. And I saw it was almost like the Olympic torch. And I saw people just touching other people and igniting their fire. We declare by the unction of the fire of the Holy Ghost that when we live here as carriers of fire, we will lit our cities, we will lit our families, we will lit our communities, we will lit our countries, we will lit our neighborhoods. Let the fire of God spread, 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 spread from the north to the south, to the east, to the east, to the center of God. Fire spread over the UK, spread over Europe, spread over Africa, spread over Asia. Let the fire spread. Shout amen. The final declaration. Now I saw that this fire was not lit in men, Apostle, but this is what I saw. I saw men coming from the tombs. I saw men coming from the grave. And I asked the Lord, what are you doing? He said, my sons were buried, but I'm raising them back to life again. I said, the Lord said, I'm raising them back to life again. Therefore, finally, in the name of Jesus, any sleeping giant, sleeping church, anybody in this room, on YouTube, in our cities and in our nations, ordained by God, but that has fallen asleep, let this same fire, let this same fire, let this same fire, let this let this same fire bring them back to life. Shout fire! Shout fire! Shout fire! Shout fire!
Lift your hands toward heaven. Lift your hands toward heaven. These are sensitive moments. Listen, I'm doing what I'm doing deliberately. I believe the corporate anointing is superior to individual anointings. That's why I held myself, and I'm allowing ministers that are here to minister to you. There are many things that will come to you from these verses. Now, we are going to enter another phase of ministration. I will call the fathers, custodians in the land, to speak to the foundation of this land. Two things. Number one, to open the spiritual potential of this territory for the move of God to begin. And then number two, to release the potential of other nations that are locked here. There are potentials of many nations, especially African nations, that are locked here. We want to break that yoke of slavery and tyranny, that every nation will receive emancipation and find their prophetic destinies. Are you following? And so we call some elders to do that now before we enter the administration. However, before I do that, how many of you have noticed the healing? You have noticed the change already. Can you lift your hand? You have noticed the healing. Come on, look at that. Give the Lord the shout. Wait a minute, for a second. If you have noticed the healing, can you wave your right hand? You have noticed the healing. There are many hands lifted. Those of you who are waving your hands, can you meet me on the altar here now? Meet me on the altar here. I want to use you as a point of contact, because one of the declarations we'll make here is to release the healing anointing on people so that they will carry it to this nation and to the nations of the world. Come up quickly. Create a space here for them. Create a space here. Come up, come up, come up. These are people touched of God. Keep coming. Can you clap hands for Jesus? Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. You know, because of the nature of the meeting, we are pressed. Our major burden is transformation and activation of ordinations. But these things must have to happen because of the cloud that descended. But over and above the healing is the awakening of ordinations. That is our major priority in this meeting. My goodness, she was healed. She was healed. What was wrong with her? Help me.
She has a problem with the kidney.
She had problem with headache?
No, the kidney.
Kidney? You had problem with kidney? Little girl, come up. What was the problem?
I have to go to the hospital because I have a kidney problem that's called kidney failure.
So what couldn't you do before?
I couldn't go to school.
Were you feeling any pain or anything? How did you know you were healed? Were you feeling any pain before? Can you still feel the pain, or the pain is gone?
The pain is still there.
You still feel the pain? So you came out to be prayed for?
Yes.
Okay, you'll be healed now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command the pains to go in the name of Jesus. Kidney, be healed in the name of Jesus. Where were you feeling pains before? You were feeling pains here. Pains, go in the name of Jesus. Healing by the power of the Holy Ghost. Check that place if the pain is still there. Check it. Don't be afraid. Check it. Touch it. Touch it hard. Touch it hard. Be harder. Can you still feel pain? Is the pain gone? You can't feel pain anymore? No, check it, be sure. You can't feel pain anymore? You are sure?
Yes.
You can't feel pain anymore?
Yes.
Give the Lord a show. What's going on here? Talk to me quickly.
Apostle, sir.
Yes, please.
This mama came here with an excruciating pain from her waist down to the left side of her leg.
For how long has it been?
About 5 years.
5 years. Excruciating pain.
Yeah.
So what couldn't you do before?
Sorry?
What couldn't you do before?
Oh, I couldn't sit for a long time.
You couldn't sit for a long time.
Bend.
You couldn't bend. Come up here and do it. Let's see. Do what you couldn't do before. You couldn't bend. Come on. Give the Lord a shout. It's permanent in the name of Jesus. Yes, please.
Apostle, sir, this mama came with arthritis pain.
Arthritis.
In both legs, right?
Both legs.
Yeah.
What couldn't you do before, mama?
It's going like this.
You couldn't bend before. Come up, mama. Try to do what you couldn't do before. You couldn't do that before. You couldn't bend before because of the pain. What happened now? You are feeling good. Give the Lord a shout.
This brother came with a severe pain on his chest.
Yes,
he came with severe pain on his chest. He couldn't breathe well. He couldn't talk well.
You couldn't breathe well.
But after the prayer, he's feeling well.
You couldn't even talk well.
This morning, I was watching you and all the other ministers, and I was restless in Canterbury, and my mind told me to come here. That 2 years ago in 2020, God told me something. I didn't believe it even as a sinner. So now I'm here, and I don't want money. I don't want anything. I just want grace. I just want grace.
Come here, brother. Can we have 3-4 persons take these testimonies quickly?
Apostle.
Take it in the name of Jesus. Yes, please.
This lady here, since primary, she couldn't read with her both eyes. But
you right couldn't now, read with both eyes?
Yes, from things afar. But right now, she could look at what is afar and then read it.
You can read that now? You couldn't do that since primary school? How long was that?
Over 14 years.
Over 14 years.
Over 14
can you attempt
years.
To read that now? Can you read what you are seeing on the screen?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Give the Lord a shout. She is so excited. Yes. Permanent. In the name of Jesus. What happened to mama?
Mommy had a back condition for over a year that couldn't make her bend.
You couldn't bend for over 1 year.
Yes.
Come on, mama. Bend. Let's come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Talk to me. What happened to mama?
With the same anointing.
You want to serve God with the anointing?
Yes, with the same anointing.
Receive the anointing.
Ah, thank you, Jesus.
Fire of the Holy Ghost. Go with that power.
This sister came to service with pain from her waist down to her legs.
And she's healed. What happened to you, ma?
The same thing, she twisted her ankle.
Weight come in and my arms were shaking like this. And I just...
That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Woo! What happened to you, ma?
This afternoon when I was coming for the second section, I twisted my ankle.
You twisted your ankle?
I could not put any weight on it. It was so painful.
You couldn't put any weight on it?
The medical team came to assist me. They gave me, ibuprofen, but it was still painful.
What happened now?
And then as they are doing the praise and worship, all of a sudden, I just see clearly. The depths of the angel. I ran to the floor. I said, look at all these angels.
You saw angels.
I was screaming, look at all these angels. They were holding me back. Later when we went back to my seat, my friend said, you can't put weight on your leg. Come on, you have, do you know your
how child? Were you walking before, ma? That's how you were walking.
They were leaders, yes.
How are you walking now? Come on!
But
what happened?
Mama had an injury on her legs.
You had an injury on the leg.
Yes, there was something that had some sensations on her body. She felt like
you had a lot of sensations.
Yes, like a bean moving in her body.
Bean. A bean was moving in your body.
Yes.
What happened now?
It has gone.
It's gone forever. Yes. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. What happened to you, sir?
For 2 years now, I couldn't use this hand.
You couldn't use this hand?
When I'm bathing, I find it very difficult to take my hand back.
For over 2 years, you couldn't move this hand to the back.
Yes.
What happened now?
You can see.
Come on.
You can see.
Give the Lord a shout.
Apostle, you need to hear this, sir.
Talk to me.
This woman was diagnosed of heart failure 2 months ago.
Heart failure. Heart failure.
Yes.
2 months ago.
Yes.
What couldn't you do?
I couldn't breathe properly.
You couldn't breathe
today,
properly.
When I was at the back there, the power of God hit me.
My
and
goodness.
I can't breathe. There's no heart failure in my mind now.
Heart failure, 2 months, you couldn't breathe properly. Right now, Jesus has taught her. Give the Lord a shout.
Apostle, this young lady had a back condition for over 5 years that couldn't allow her to lift her hands properly.
Over 5 years?
Yes.
You couldn't lift your hands?
Yes, but
now I can. Right?
You couldn't move your hands?
Yeah.
Because of the back condition.
Oh, the
what couldn't you do before?
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.